Welcome to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later on the program, we'll talk with a pair of SDSU researchers who are members of the new Landsat 8 science team. But first, we'll discuss the presidential campaign. In a bit, we'll get some foreign perspectives of the race from freelance journalist Paul Glatter in Berlin and USD political science professor Eric Jepson, who's in India on a Fulbright-Nehru fellowship. Right now, I'm joined in the studio by another member of USD's political science faculty, assistant professor Chad Neuswander. Professor Neuswander, thanks for joining us on today's Dakota Midday.
It's great to be here.
And if you have any questions, if you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 800-524-3604, 800-524-3604. You can also email a question at midday@sdpb.org. Well, the presidential campaign is in its final hours. President Obama and Mitt Romney and their surrogates are visiting the big swing states, including Ohio, Iowa, Wisconsin, Florida, and Virginia. Professor Neuswander, going back to, let's say, the convention the past few months, how have these candidates been running their campaigns? Have they been very effective, efficient?
In general, both campaigns have had their high and low moments. But in general, I would argue that both campaigns have struggled. If we look at President Obama's campaign on one end, his campaign has often been petty, mean, and if you will, unpresidential, using terms like Romneysia or Romneyhood or voting out of revenge, kind of don't yield itself to a candidate who once tried to unify a nation, for a figure who wanted politics not to be a game anymore, but to be discussion about serious ideas. That transcendent message that Obama once articulated has really gone by the wayside. And so you really saw that in the message that he presented. It really wasn't a strong message of what he would do over the next 4 years. Instead, it was about blaming his current problems on President Bush and attacking Romney's plan. So he really failed to devise an alternative framework of what a second-term presidency would look like. But on the other hand, if you look at Governor Romney, his campaign has also struggled as much as President Obama's. He's often stretched the facts to attack President Obama. He's made a series of gaffes ranging from the 47% to I like to fire people, to my wife drives a couple of Cadillacs, to the $10,000 bet, to using words like sports instead of sports. And probably what is most troubling about Romney's campaign is that he allowed himself to be defined by President Obama's attacks. So he appeared to be the Gordon Gekko character out of Oliver Stone's movie of Wall Street, so that he's this rich tycoon that has no connection to the people. So in general, neither candidate has been able to really get out of the dirt of politics and present a message that transcends and connects to the ordinary voter.
How do you perceive the electorate responding to that?
Well, the electorate always says they don't like negative campaigning, but as we see in study after study, it works. And it's just a tendency of American politics to be mean, to be nasty, and to be dirty. And that's not going to change anytime soon. But it would be nice occasionally to see brighter, you know, rays of sunshine in terms of talking about what unites us instead of what divides us. But that's not what campaigns are about. Campaigns is about getting the vote out, pleasing your base, pleasing the special interest groups. So at times we have this conflict of what we want campaigns and elections and democracy to be really about.
You mentioned the pettiness and some of those aspects, some of the dirty aspects of this campaign. How do you think this compares to, say, 2008? Is there a different flavor to this one?
The one shining moment in 2008 is when John McCain stood up for then Barack Obama, when that old lady tried to basically say that Obama was, you know, a Muslim, and McCain immediately stopped her and said that, no, he's a good man. And you really haven't seen a lot of that between Obama and Romney. And on Obama's side of things, you had his super PAC accusing him of killing a man's wife, of committing tax fraud, of committing felons. And to a certain extent, that is beyond the pale. I mean, that is just atrocious claims to make. And on the Romney side, you have not as equally vehement as saying that he killed a man's wife, but again, very dirty tactics in trying to undermine Obama. And for the past 4 years, we've seen attacks on Obama that have been beyond the pale and accusing him of being a covert Muslim, to trying to undermine the country, to not being a U.S. citizen. And so really what we've seen in this election is basically an extension of what we've seen the past 4 years.
Now these attacks on both sides, these aren't necessarily coming from the campaigns themselves.
No, some of them come from the super PACs, but the campaigns have done nothing to discourage these types of attacks, especially after the super PAC ran the ad that Romney killed this man's wife. The White House was very ambivalent and really didn't denounce that attack until later on. So they have not done much in terms of trying to present a calmer side to two events.
Do you see this campaign the last couple of months having a narrative arc?
Yeah, I do. If we go back to the conventions, so if we look at the Republican National Convention, it's supposed to be the moment for Romney to have his launching pad, but it didn't serve as that launching pad, and that was because of a variety of reasons. If you go to the first night of the convention, you have Governor Christie from New Jersey speaking more about himself than Romney, and that kind of set the tone for the whole convention. So the following night, you have his own vice presidential candidate, Congressman Ryan, talking again more about himself than Governor Romney. He doesn't do it as bad as Governor Christie. But again, it's not a message that centers around Romney. And then you have Senator Rubio, again, who's supposed to introduce Romney. And once again, he fails to do that. He talks more about his own narrative, more about himself. So these three individuals appear to be running for the 2016 ticket and not trying to bolster Romney, not using this as an opportunity to launch him. So it is left up to Governor Romney to really launch himself. And he does a good job. He gave the best speech that he's given up to that point in time. But again, it wasn't that moment that he needed to propel himself. On the other end, you have President Obama, who's very much in a very comfortable lead at the moment, is doing well, and the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, goes off a little bit better than the RNC, but President Bill Clinton steals the convention. And so he doesn't get that bump either. And so what we get for the next month of September is really the status quo with, it looks like President Obama is going to come away with a clear victory. He's clearly up in the polls, especially in the swing states.
And then we come to the debates.
Yeah, then we come to the debates, and President Barack Obama decides not to show up. And Governor Romney utterly eviscerates Obama. Obama looks lost, dumbfounded, not knowing what to do, not knowing what to say. And it very much appeared that this is basically a replication of what happened with the first debate between John Kerry and President George W. Bush in 2004. George Bush did not show up, was not adequately prepared, and it allowed Kerry to gain some momentum. The big difference here, though, is that Obama had successfully defined Romney as very much a right-wing politician that you could not trust. And so this was the launching pad that Romney needed originally. He was able to present himself in a way that was able to refute a lot of the stereotypes that the Obama campaign had been pushing. So all the attacks that Obama had made were so successful that it allowed Romney in one night to basically renounce all of them and come out looking very presidential.
At that moment, do you almost feel like it just reset the whole campaign? It was just like, okay, we've got to start over from this moment on?
Not only reset the campaign, but it tilted it where Romney appeared now to be, at least from a national poll standpoint, to be the favorite, to be up by, you know, 2-3 points, then gradually making his way up to 4 or 5 points. And that's kind of where we're seeing the national polls now, with Romney, at least according to Gallup, up around 4 or 5 points.
Why do you think that is, that first debate happened with President Bush, as you mentioned, and now with President Obama, that they're not there for that first debate? Does it come from their handlers? Is it just that they're busy being president, or they weren't expecting their opponents to be as strong as they were?
That's a great question. One line of analysis is the presidential bubble, that the president, whether you're Bush or you're Obama, are insulated from ordinary attacks on your positions. That as presidents, that you're due some degree of deference and they're not used to being criticized. So when they are confronted with a line of attacks, they do not know how to respond. And for both Bush and Obama, that's what it appeared like, that they just did not know how to adequately answer these critiques, that they believed in their message so much that they blindly accepted it. And that's one of the problems we have with the office of presidents right now is that they are so insulated. They live in this presidential bubble on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that they become disconnected with issues.
Along with the debates and the things that the candidates to a certain extent have control over, can control themselves, they're the events that just happen that they're unexpected, like the attack on Benghazi on 9/11, and more recently Hurricane Sandy. How have these two events had much impact, do you think, on the way this campaign has come down here towards the end of the season?
If we look at Libya, that had a great opportunity to really challenge President Obama's strategy in the Middle East. However, the governor really messed up when he accused Romney of apologizing for America on 9/11, kind of used a message that seemed to be more partisan in nature instead of using it as an opportunity to decry terrorism and to denounce this as an act of terror. So Romney really missed his opportunity by attacking President Obama too soon. And he really could have leveraged it because the administration for 2 weeks outright allowed a false narrative to develop about the Libya attacks. And they blamed it on a YouTube video. And they allowed that to fester for 2 weeks, which was not true. And we still don't have clear answers of exactly how this happened, what was known, was additional security forces asked for. And there's a lot of questions out there on Libya that are to this day left unresolved. But Romney has really left these issues to the side because of his original mistake and also because of what happened in the second debate.
Then this past weekend, how have things has President Obama been able to come back? Has the Hurricane Sandy event, has that been anything that either candidates have been able to work to their advantage? I mean, you can't with something as horrible as that, as an event like that, but I was wondering how that has played.
Yeah, after the Libya, I think both Romney and Obama realized that they would not use it as a political opportunity to either attack each other, but really to present a unified message that this is a national disaster, we need to treat it as such, and we need to treat it in a presidential manner. So I don't think either of them gained a lot of points, but I do think it did two things. One, it did hamper the momentum that Romney had and allowed Obama to reassert himself in this commander-in-chief role or in a head of state role. I think that's probably, to me, the more appropriate term to use. He was able to stand out, be sympathetic, and to show what the national government could do in national disaster situations. So it did help Obama on that front.
Now, it's the day before the election. The candidates are still out there. They're the swing states. How do things look? Or what are some of the possible outcomes tomorrow?
One possible outcome that's being floated around, and this is probably the most troubling one, but I think probably the most likely, is that Romney will win the popular election and Obama will win the Electoral College, which again goes back to Bush v. Gore in terms of raising a whole question of legitimacy. And is the next president truly our president? So beyond the partisan differences, it would be nice to see an election that would be definitively resolved. But I don't think that will be the case. I think it will be a squeaker. And there'll be questions of legitimacy on either side. If Romney wins, the Democrats might challenge it. And if Obama wins, the Republicans might also.
So what happens over the next couple of years before the next election?
Well, if you have the scenario where Romney wins the popular vote and Obama wins the Electoral College, I think what you'll see in the next 2 years is nothing done in D.C. because Obama would not have been given a mandate by the people to pursue an agenda. So you'd see really a standoff. If Romney wins both the national election and the Electoral College, you won't have that. And the same thing with vice versa. If Obama wins both, he'll have a greater mandate also.
Do you see this race as being as close as the pundits and the pollsters are saying?
Yeah, I do think it is as close. Even though if you listen to either campaign, they are confident that they're going to blow, you know, they're going to win easily. But I think the polls really stand up that this is going to be tightly divided. And I think the election will come down to a few key states such as Ohio, Florida, And maybe Colorado and Virginia might be thrown in there, but those will be the key swing states in determining the election.
So tomorrow night, as we're watching the returns, it's really just focusing on those handful of swing states? And
yeah, I would focus on Ohio. I think that's the big game changer. If you see Florida go for Obama, the night will be over for Romney. But if Romney wins both Florida and Virginia, then you're going to really see it all boil down to Ohio.
Well, Professor Neuswander, thanks so much for sorting out a little bit of what happened in the past couple of months with the campaign.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks for your perspective.